welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Today I shall speak to you about the story of Zacchaeus, the rich and intelligent man. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today I must abide at thy house." Two kinds of people you will seldom see in heaven are the intelligent and the rich. These are also two kinds of people you will seldom see at a church prayer meeting, prevailing with God for the salvation of souls. This is not to say that Jesus is against intelligence. In fact, he created it. He's not against wealth. It is simply that as intelligence and wealth are associated with great opportunities, so they are also linked with great dangers. Jesus said, I quote, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." That's in Luke 10:21. Unquote. Jesus meant that the wise of this world, the educated, the sophisticated, the know-it-alls can rarely be trusted with divine revelations. They tend to abuse, ridicule, or destroy these revelations because highly intelligent people apply reason rather than faith to what God reveals. All the men who engineered Jesus' death were college graduates, the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, and the Sadducees. No, don't get upset with me. I'm just preaching the Word of God. I'm not against college education. My mother has college education. All my siblings do. I do. I'm not against college education. I'm just preaching the word to you here. And although Jesus gave Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, lawyers, and priests opportunities to be healed, such as in Luke chapter 5, 17 to 25, there is no record of one of them ever having been healed. Faith and reason have been battling each other from man's first encounter with the devil, and will continue to do so in every man's mind till the end of time. Again, Jesus is not a foe of education, but he knew that if learned men do not live on bended knee, as Moses and Paul did, they become enemies of Christ. Few of the earthly wise and educated will be found in heaven. As intelligence can keep you out of heaven, so can wealth. Perhaps the greatest barrier between people and Jesus is money. In Luke 18 is a story of the rich man who came to Jesus for salvation. Jesus asked him to give up his money to give it to the poor. But the rich man found that his love of money was greater than his love for Jesus, who could give him eternal life. And then Jesus said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" Here, hardly means with great difficulty. Then Jesus follows this with these words, "For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, some scholars translate camel as rope. I believe Jesus meant camel, because it is possible by human effort to get a rope strand by strand through the eye of the needle. But to get a camel through such a tiny hole, you need a miracle. That's why Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with man," say like forcing a camel through the eye of the needle, "are possible with God." Rich man, it will take a miracle to get you to heaven. You are doomed unless you experience the miracle that detaches your heart from your money and places it under the lordship of Jesus Christ and his body, the church. But with God, all things are possible. So let's look at such a miracle. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. This gets us to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a Jew. His name is Jewish. Many tax collectors, or publicans, as they also call them, were non-Jews because Jewish publicans experienced severe abuse from their people. They were despised for serving Israel's oppressor, which was Rome. Both Matthew and Zacchaeus were Jewish tax collectors, but Zacchaeus was even more hated because, besides being a Jew, he was a chief tax collector. So he became rich by taking money from his brothers and sending it to Rome. So the first way the Bible identifies Zacchaeus is by his wealth. The lesson: Jesus sees all of you, including your bank account. Your bank account, your checkbook, can tell Jesus more about you, who you are, than anything else you say or do. Your checkbook, more than your testimony, will tell him whether you will make it to the eye of the needle or not. Now, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, the miracle worker, and that he was coming through town. He wanted to see him. But as it turned out, there was no one to help him see Jesus. No one. Question: are you helping someone to see Jesus? Zacchaeus had two things against him. He was hated by all, and he was too short to look over the top of the crowd. Yet he had one thing going for him. He had the kind of heart described by Jeremiah the prophet, which says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." So Zacchaeus was a man of no excuses. If you make excuses for yourself, you're likely to stay close to the bottom all of your life. If you're a man without excuses, you're likely to rise to the top. It is true in both the secular and spiritual worlds. You will never live a consistent, victorious Christian life until you stop making excuses. Every time you make an excuse, you put something between yourself and your Savior. Oh, all the prayer meeting excuses, the church attendance excuses, the not giving cheerful excuses. Kill everything that is of the Spirit of God. But Zacchaeus did not use his shortness as an excuse. He did not blame people for blocking him out, nor did he blame God for his short stature. He wanted to see Jesus. I can tell you that everyone who has kissed excuses goodbye and wants to see Jesus will find remarkable assistance from heaven. God showed Zacchaeus a plan when there was no plan. Praise God. The plan was for him to make a fool out of himself. Lesson: no man has ever entered the kingdom of God without making a fool out of himself. Now, the worldly wise will never accept such a plan. They will not give up their pride, their dignity, their respectability, and their refined behavior. They will not take up the cross because it is foolishness to them. Zacchaeus received a plan. He knew that if he were willing to be the laughing stock of Jericho, he would see Jesus. That is what it would cost him. Thus Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a tree. Question: was it worth it? I don't think he planned to climb a tree when he left home, or he would have dressed accordingly. He was a millionaire. in his fine garments and fancy shoes, running ahead of a crowd that hated him, he climbed a tree at the risk of losing his shoes or tearing his garments. I'm sure the reporters ran after him to sell the story to the Jericho Times the next morning. I must tell you, friend, you can't get to Jesus any cheaper or any other way but by running to a tree and by getting on it. Jesus had to get on a tree to save you, and you have to get on your tree to follow him. So, my friend, the spiritual meaning of this passage is that what Calvary was to Jesus, the sycamore tree was to Zacchaeus. The Calvary tree put Jesus to open shame, causing him to lose all, to lose his reputation. The sycamore tree did the same for Zacchaeus. It put him also to an open shame. Friend, have you climbed your sycamore tree yet? Well, I'll tell you, once you are on that tree, Jesus will find you. Jesus sees everyone who is on his tree, and everyone on his tree will see Jesus. The tree offered the best site, the best seat. The cross offers the best seat for us to see Jesus. Oh, I like this. I like this. When Jesus came to the place, it says he saw him. Zacchaeus would never have seen Jesus had he not been on that tree. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he called him by name. How did Jesus know his name? Well, Jesus knows everyone's name. Now here is the crescendo of the whole symphony. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down today. I must abide in thy house." Listen, he said to him, "Make haste. Hurry up." How often did Jesus say to anyone, "Hurry up"? A normal place, a normal pace of climbing down was too slow for Jesus. 2 minutes was too long for Zacchaeus to come down off that tree. He wanted Zacchaeus to shave every possible second off his downward climb. Jesus had a compelling desire to embrace this man, for this man in the tree had forsaken all to see him. Oh, what a story. How many rich men have ever done this? Have you ever heard of anyone Jesus wanted to see so badly as Zacchaeus? How excited is Jesus about you? Jesus was drawn to Zacchaeus like a magnet to a piece of iron. Then he said to him, "Today I must abide at thy house." I must, not I want to, not I should, but I must. And so here two men met, one who was had just come off a tree, and one who was headed for a tree in Jerusalem. Man's tree and Christ's tree bring man and God together in Holy Spirit fellowship. Then without prompting, Zacchaeus said, "Now I shall give one half of my goods to the poor." Immediately he let his checkbook know who was the new boss. Then Jesus said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham." Friend, can a camel go through the eye of a needle? Can a rich man be saved? With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm Pastor Schulze. Tune in again next week at the same time. Goodbye now, until then.